Good evening, and welcome to The Lost Chord, a weekly program of unusual and neglected repertoire. I'm Ross Amico, and I sincerely hope you'll stay with me for the next hour as we continue with our observation of the 100th anniversary of the Armistice on November 11th, 1918. A Farewell to Arms, Part 2, is what we call tonight's program. It was on November 11th, 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, that representatives of the Allied forces in Germany sat down to sign the armistice that concluded hostilities on the Western Front, formally ending the war to end all wars. Last week, in honor of the 100th anniversary of this momentous occasion, we heard the first part of A World Requiem, a gargantuan 90-minute work for vocal soloists, massed choirs, including children's choirs, large symphony orchestra, offstage instrumentalists, and organ. This week we'll continue with part two. The composer, John Foulds, F-O-U-L-D-S, lived from 1880 to 1939. As a Cockney, an international socialist, an Eastern spiritualist, a mystic with an interest in the occult, and an Indian sympathizer who spoke Sanskrit, as well as a composer who was best known mostly for his light music, Foulds was viewed with suspicion by the London establishment. He was disliked by influential figures in music, military, and press. In fact, within the last 10 years or so, it came to light that performances of his Requiem were actually suppressed by the BBC, possibly at the instigation of Sir Adrian Bolt. This despite the fact that Foulds donated all proceeds to the Poppy Appeal for the British Legion. Foulds was equally disliked by Sir Edward Elgar and Ralph Vaughan Williams. Though steeped in the comparatively conservative language of the English musical renaissance at the turn of last century, the Requiem occasionally betrays Foulds's fascination with Eastern music, anticipating the repetitions of minimalism and even employing quarter tones. Foulds lived in India from 1935 until the end of his life. There he labored tirelessly in radio, in the formation of orchestras, and in attempted syntheses of Eastern and Western music. He died of cholera in Calcutta at the age of 58. As mentioned last week, the Requiem's texts are derived from various spiritual sources by the composer's wife, Maud McCarthy, built on fragments from the Requiem Mass, as well as writings of John Bunyan and the Hindu poet Kabir. Foulds conceived the work as a memorial to the dead of all nations. The overall tone is more Brahms than Benjamin Britten. Part 1 of the oratorio promises peace and rest, and Part 2 conveys radiant visions of paradise. The work was given its first performance on Armistice Day, November 11, 1923, then performed each year for the next 4 years. Then it lay unheard for some 8 decades until revived for the recording we're about to hear, on the Chandos label, which is taken from a live concert given on Armistice Day 2007 at the venue in which it was first heard, Royal Albert Hall, London. Here are soprano Jean-Michel Charbonnet, mezzo-soprano Catherine Wynne Rogers, tenor Stuart Skelton, and baritone Gerald Finlay, with the Trinity Boys Choir, the Crouch End Festival Chorus, the Philharmonia Chorus, and the BBC Symphony Chorus, along with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, all under the direction of Leon Botstein. Part 2 of A World Requiem by John Foulds.
Thank you. Shall be shines in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity and great tribulation and the sea and the waves and
thank you.
Music first performed on Armistice Day, November 11th, 1923, and intended by its composer as a memorial to the dead of all nations. That was part two of A World Requiem by British composer John Foulds, F-O-U-L-D-S. This recording on the Chandos label was taken from a live concert given on Armistice Day 2007 at the venue in which the work was first heard, Royal Albert Hall, London, the first time the piece was performed in some 80 years. We've heard soprano Jean-Michel Charbonnet, mezzo-soprano Catherine Wynne Rogers, tenor Stuart Skelton, and baritone Gerald Finlay, with the Trinity Boys Choir, the Crouch End Festival Chorus, the Philharmonia Chorus, and the BBC Symphony Chorus, along with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, all under the direction of Leon Botstein. The conclusion of A World Requiem by John Foulds. In the time remaining, here's some music by Cecil Coles, one of the many artists who lost their lives in combat. Coles was born in Scotland in 1888. He studied at Edinburgh University, the London College of Music, and Morley College, then in Stuttgart, where he remained as an assistant conductor at the Stuttgart Royal Opera House. Forced to return to England before the outbreak of war, he enlisted for overseas service and was sent to the trenches in 1915. Coles was killed near the Somme on April 26, 1918, during a heroic attempt to rescue some wounded comrades. Coles had composed even on the front lines. His manuscripts of the period, some still embedded with shrapnel, have been painstakingly reconstructed. Here's one of the surviving movements from the suite Behind the Lines, especially poignant given the composer's fate. This is the cortege, a military funeral procession. The Cortege, from the suite Behind the Lines by Cecil Coles. Coles actually composed that at the front during World War I. He was eventually killed in combat. He was just 29 at the time of his death. We've heard the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Martin Brabbins. And with that selection from Cecil Coles' Behind the Lines, we come to the conclusion of our two-part observance of the armistice that ended World War I on November 11, 1918. A Farewell to Arms, Part 2. I'm Ross Amico. Thanks very much for joining me for this week's edition of The Lost Chord. Funding for this program has been provided in part by the listener members of the Classical Network. Make a donation today at wwfm.org. Thank you for supporting the Classical Network. For more information on The Lost Chord, recommended recordings, and more, visit my Facebook page and be sure to like me at Classic Ross Amico.